played in the Senior Olympics on Tuesday. Not the Special Olympics for you, Smart Alex. What is it called when somebody like challenges you in a bet and they appear like they're not going to do good and then they beat you? Is that what would you call played them? Hustled. Yeah, I got hustled. I was just shooting around and getting warmed up, and a 71-year-old man said, "Would you like to shoot threes?" And I said, "Okay." So he shot 10, made 5. And I said, "Oh, okay, no problem." So I had 5 out of 9, then missed the next one. Oh, rats, we tied. And then he said, "3 more?" And I said, "Okay, boom, 3. Boom, boom, boom." He hit all 3 of them. I thought, "You dirty dog." And then I missed. And so he said, "My specialty is free throws. Let's do that." And I said, "Okay." So I shot 10, made 9. He shot 10, made 8. And I thought, okay, maybe he's going to stop this now. How about another 10? Okay, so I made 8. He made 10. Oh, man, he had me up one. He said, "How about another 10? I said, "Okay, I made 9. He made 10. So he had me up 2. And he said, "How about an even 50? I said, "Okay. I shot 10, made 9. He made 10. And then the last 10, I made 10. He made 10. So he had 48 out of 50. And then he tells me, he said, "Oh, I travel around and do halftime shows." I said, "Oh, now you're telling me." And he did a halftime show for Kentucky and Louisville. They were ranked 1 and 2, and he made 46 out of 50 three-point shots. 71 years old. I was impressed. But that was just shooting. If we got on the court, I was going to whoop him. Which I did later in the other ones. But I was impressed. That was a blessing. Then he gave me a book on Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. We got to talk, but he's a Berean. He is a Berean. It's kind of a hyper-dispensational. But hey, still, that's, you know, Clarence Larkin, Schofield, that was good. But it was a blessing. So I had some time with that guy. So, and then I got to meet an old friend from Hiles Anderson. He runs a radio station, so he interviewed me on that for, I don't know, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Going to air it on Saturday at 10. I forget where it's at. It's online. So it was a blessing to see him. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us understand your words. And I do pray that you'd help us to be faithful to your words. And I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you that you've enlightened us some things to this book that we'd never add to, never subtract from this book. And never change the words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Galatians 3, we're down to 25. Verse 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. There's 5 verses right in a row. Each of these 5 verses have a major, pretty well-known false doctrine using these verses as their proof text or for their proof text. Okay, remember, a false doctrine or a heresy, which is another word for false doctrine, is easy to develop from the Bible by subtracting a word or words, changing a word or words, or adding a word of words. In Titus 3, verse 10, if you look at that one, it says, "A man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, being condemned of himself." Okay, and so that's the idea of a heresy will talk against itself. It will contradict itself. It'll be self-contradictory. Okay, it's like Calvinism. How does a person use their free will to believe in Calvinism when Calvinism doesn't believe you have a free will? So in order to be a consistent Calvinist, you have to be born a Calvinist. Nothing has changed throughout your whole life. You haven't had a choice in the matter. You're born a Calvinist, and then you're born to be one of the elect. Okay, and so that's Calvinism. So it's self-contradictory. The evolutionary theory is self-contradictory according to the laws of science. The New Bibles are self-contradictory. When you talk to anybody about a New Bible, they'll use the singular. The Bible says, they'll be quoting from NIV, and they'll have another one. The New American Standard said, but the Bible, they keep saying the Bible singular, but yet they should be saying the Bibles are saying, especially when they have them in parallel text. You get on one called Bible Hub, where you got them several parallel, and you get Matthew 17, 21, King James, there it is. This one, oh, it's missing here, missing there, oh, missing there. It's right in front of them. How do they miss that? Okay, and so a heresy or a false idea, false doctrine that uses the Bible, the only way they do that is that it's a sleight of hand, where Ephesians says that the cunning craftiness and the sleight or deception of man. And so the idea is that we have to be very specific with the words of the Bible. And I've been at this long enough that I've noticed that people who are trying to use the Bible to say what they want it to say will be very precise when the verse is in their favor. But when another verse is not in that favor, they'll stretch it a mile long. And so to be consistent, we never add to, never subtract from, never change. If we don't know, if we can't answer, we just say, I don't know. Okay, Galatians 3:25. This is one that is demonstrating the apostasy within the church today. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Okay, the schoolmaster will be the law, verse 24. So the basic philosophy of this one is that we are no longer under the law, but we're under grace. This would be the hyper-dispensationalist, the Bereans, that they would take this, we're under grace, and what they're going to do is they're going to say that there's no limitations to us. We have complete liberty, complete freedom, no standards, no convictions, just anything goes. Okay, and that's what's taken the church over today, and that's why it's so apostate. Okay, Titus, if you kept your finger in Titus 2, verse 11, this one shows that grace does teach us standards, convictions, beliefs, okay, where there is a standard. Titus 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So there's some standards or convictions. And then 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Okay, and so Tex Mars just put out a book about the goofiness that's going on in the church today. And there's just a couple accounts. I haven't bought in a book. I don't intend to buy it. But one was a pastor preaching in the nude to a congregation of nude people. Okay, now, he's got a standard and a conviction. It's just pretty way down there, okay? But when he goes out from the building, he's going to put some clothes on. He's not going to walk over to Walmart. Maybe he'll put a shirt and shoes on because it says no shirt, no shoes, no service, you know. No, they're going to boot him out, okay? And so this is how goofy it's getting in our country, where you go by a church and you look inside, oh, I think I'm at Starbucks. Okay, and this is the grace crowd, okay, where they look just like the world, they act like the world, their music is just like the world. Oh, they have he or Lord in there once in a while. It's just like the world. And so then they'll say, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. Okay, that's their verse that they're going to really hang their head on, verse 25. The next one. Okay, this one is on 560 AM. There's a guy on there, I think a guy named Gallagher and another guy after him. And the guy after him, they're both conservative, or at least they're passing themselves off to be conservative. And the one does mention the Bible quite often. And he mentioned, when I was listening, when I was working on something, he says, well, we're all children of God. Okay? This is the verse where he gets the idea from. Galatians 3:26, for we are all the children of God, and they skip the last five words. By faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, the basic general idea of this false doctrine is they teach that since we're all God's children, we should love everybody because it is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Okay, so that's the idea. They get that from that verse, but Ephesians 2 verse 2 mentions children of disobedience. Ephesians 2 verse 3 mentions children of wrath. And Jesus Christ mentioned children of the devil in John 8:44. And so according to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul, those are some of the different children that we're rubbing shoulders with in the world. Okay, if they don't have faith in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus, verse 26, they're not the children of God. Okay, where John chapter 1 says that it's by faith that we have the power to become the sons of God when we believe in Jesus Christ. And then Romans 8 throws in the idea that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And so what's going to result of verse 26 would be an ecumenical thing. And of course, whenever the Pope and company pushes an ecumenical thing where all the churches should cooperate, they will never compromise papal authority. So that's a nice way, a very diplomatic way of saying, I want everybody to get together, but I'm in charge. And that's the Pope and company. Well, we're all the children of God. Muslims, Buddhists, we all come from the offspring of God, it says in Acts chapter 17. Yeah, but when a person recognizes good from evil and they choose the evil, then they have switched. Okay? Meaning they're safe in Christ before then. Okay? But then faith in Christ is what places us as children of God. Verse 27. Famous water dog verse. This would be one of the six or seven that they will splash around in circles. Keep going around circles and circles and circles and circles. For as many of you as have been baptized into water have put on Christ. That's how a Baptist bride or a Baptist water dog or a Baptist regeneration will read that in his mind. When they see the word baptized, they think water. Okay, every time. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's no water in the passage. There's no water mentioned in the entire letter. Okay, and a good cross-reference with this one is Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So a water dog is going to have to read that. Know ye not so many of us as were baptized into water were baptized into water? Because that's what they're thinking. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So in verse 3, there are two separate baptisms of the seven. Baptized into Christ, baptized into his death. Where was it mentioned about the baptism of his death? We go backwards to Matthew chapter 20. We'll see the baptism of his death. Matthew 20, verse 22. Okay, now chronologically, we're in Matthew 20. What chapter was it that Jesus got baptized in water in? Well, that's Matthew chapter 3. So he's already been baptized in water by John the Baptist to manifest Jesus to Israel. And when he was standing in the water, the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and God the Father spoke from heaven. So there's three members of the Godhead mentioned in the passage. Now, in Matthew 20, verse 22, but Jesus answered and said, you know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? This is not Matthew 3. They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom is prepared of my Father. So he's talking about the prophecy of his death. This is the baptism of his death, and yes, James and John died. So they got baptized into death. Now in Romans chapter 6, upon faith in Christ, Romans 4 and 5, the Spirit of God puts us into Christ, and when we're put in Christ, we are put into his death. And that's why Paul wrote in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. He runs us back to Calvary. So in verse 3, we have two separate baptisms, death and Jesus. Neither one has anything to do with water. So Galatians chapter 3, 27, if a person knows the seven baptisms, all he has to do is a multiple choice. Now usually a multiple choice, you'd limit yourself to four. But in this case, seven, you got Moses' baptism, it's not that. You got hell, that's not that one. Baptism of John the Baptist, it's not that one. Gentile water baptism, well, that's the one the water dog's going to run to. Actually, he's going to run to the Jewish water baptism of Acts 2. And then there's the baptism into Christ, Jesus, that's the real one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, this is the one that Paul describes. This is the real one. But yet the Lord writes this where a person, you can see as we're reading it, you can see why a person can think water. Okay, the only time the word water is found in 1 Corinthians, I think, is in chapter 3. Yeah, it watereth. Watered twice. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Okay, what's that body? Verse 27, the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Drink, oh, the water, oh, yeah, see, water. Okay, this is called spirit baptism. Okay, now there's a group we call dry cleaners that think that Paul doesn't require anybody to be baptized in water ever. Even though he said in 1 Corinthians that I baptized the household of Stephanus and mentioned a couple other people. Okay, but these dry cleaners, if you talk to them, say, are you telling me that I sinned when I got baptized in water? They're not going to go that far. Okay, but again, H2O is not necessary for eternal life. We obviously understand that. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, and so this Galatians 3 is the one verse that of the 6 or 7, Acts 22:16, Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21, John 3:5, Galatians 3, Colossians 2. So those are about six verses that they run around with. Okay, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 is the other one. Now, again, they're going to throw water in here, but it's not saying water. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So buried with him in baptism, that has to be 1 Corinthians 12:13. No other one that Paul's going to teach about on that idea. So Galatians 3:27, if you ever deal with a water dog, know that you're going to come across that verse. Okay, and so that's the verse that's used for baptismal regeneration. It's called baptismal regeneration, where a person is born again, where they are standing in the water, and they are sinners, and when they are being dunked, their sins are washed away, and the grace of God takes over, and by the time they come up, they are saved in Christ, but yet they don't know if they have eternal life yet. Because these people don't know that. They don't believe in that. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. Now, the real hardcore Church of Christ don't have any instruments. Okay. Some of you remember Mr. Selvage that used to come here? Science teacher, eighth grade science teacher, is my science teacher at the middle school. He attended here like the first two or three years and passed away. His wife was Church of Christ, but he'd come here. And so when he passed away, she asked if I'd do the funeral, and it was down in Kentuck, down there. And so offered, hey, would you like to have music? My kids can play violin. Nope. I said, oh, okay. I thought, well, maybe she doesn't quite understand. I said, they'll come with us. Well, you know, kids would love to play. No, we don't want any music. Oh, okay. And then I realized Church of Christ. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't know what this one over here does. There's one over there on Burr. They got music. So they're contemporary Church of Christ. So, yeah. Down in our area is Apostolic Bible Church. Okay, that they're full-fledged water dogs, Jesus oneness, don't believe in the Godhead. And then Iroquois Valley Christian Church, they're kind of loose on it. And, of course, the Catholic Church, Course of Mormons, J-Dubs. Okay, so that's that one. Next one. Okay, this is one for the craziness that's going on in America in a little Jewish elementary school just recently because of the transgender stuff. The teacher announced to the young kids, now, we're going to make two lines, boys and girls. Now, whatever you feel like you are today, then you get in that line. Weird. Okay, and so it says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, so there's that's a spiritual thing. Okay, as the verse 27 is spirit baptism, verse 26 is spiritual children of God. Okay, so the line is following along here. Neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. Are there saved people in jail? Bond nor free, or free, nor free. Neither male nor female. So what do you feel like today? Okay, I'm a Christian. Okay, now obviously we know he's talking spiritual here. Okay, neither male nor female, but yet we have passages to wives, passages to husbands, passages to children. So we obviously see a physical distinction. We have a physical distinction between a Jew and a Gentile, or a Greek, or a non-Jew. Okay, so we're spiritually one in Christ Jesus. So this makes a unique situation for a born-again believer, where we are different, where you have Jews, Gentiles, Church of God, 1 Corinthians 10:32, and that's one you pull on a British Israelite when they say that we're Israel. Oh, that means you're lost. Oh, no, I'm saved. Well, no, you just said you're Israel. You got to be either in the Church of God, Jew or Gentile. So what are you? Well, I'm Israel. Okay, then you're lost. You want to get saved? And just keep running around until they come to the end of the rope, I guess. Okay, now this was a great answer to prayer that Jesus prayed about. Okay, this prayer, the Lord prayed about this in John chapter 17. But he mentioned the idea in John chapter 10, verse 16. John 10:16, and then we'll go to John 17. John 10:16. This is a prophecy that the Lord gave prior to his death. He said in verse 16, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." Okay, the apostles. "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Okay, then John 17. This is the true Lord's Prayer, where the Matthew 6 is the national Jewish prayer. The Lord Jesus is praying to the Father, so we obviously see two members of the Godhead. He addresses him as Holy Father in verse 11. So when the Pope is called Most Holy Father, he has placed himself above God the Father. And then he prays down in verse 20, well, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." So there's the prayer. He's asking the Father to make us one, as he and the Father are one. Okay, another place for that one, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 13. Well, verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh." See how precise he is. Before salvation, you were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, circumcision, uncircumcision, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So that prayer was answered. Okay, so it appears that God started the church, the New Testament church, in Matthew 10 when he called out the apostles, but at that time the church was just an organization. A body of like-minded believers. And then in Acts 2, when they were baptized into the Spirit of God, Spirit baptism. Okay, in Acts chapter 2, that's when he made the church a living organism. We became one in Christ. That was an answer to the prayer of John 17. And so when we are placed in Christ, we lose our physical distinction spiritually, we're placed in Christ. And that's why he says in Galatians, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Why? Because we're in the church of God. Neither bond nor free. Why? Because we're free in Christ. Neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, verse 29. Verse 29 is one that's gaining quite a bit of ground in America. Okay, where it says, And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to what promise? Okay, now, the Catholics are going to say the promise of the land grant, so God's dumped Israel and given it to the Catholic Church. That's been their philosophy for over 1,000 years. The Mormons came along in the 1800s, and now their philosophy is that God's dumped Israel, and they are Israel. They're one of the tribes, Ephraim. Okay, so they've got that. The J-Dubs say, no, they're Israel. But now we get in Baptist, and the Arians are agreeing that the church is Israel. The fellow I went to school with up at Hiles Anderson, played on my basketball team. You know, saw him on video, right there. We know that the church is Israel. No, we don't. It's spelled different. Can't you see that? You got a college degree. Israel starts with an I. Church starts with a C. It's got 6 letters. There's only got one of them. The letter's the same. No, the church is not Israel. And actually, from the Bible believer's perspective, this is a great encouragement. Why? That's one of the last things the church is going to jump on prior to the rapture. Romans chapter 11, Paul warned the church, don't you boast against the branches, the natural branches, don't you boast against them. They in an apostasy, and that's right where the church is heading, right into that same apostasy. Okay, and this Steve Anderson out there in Arizona, he's kind of the guy that's really pushing this. People watch them on the internet, and they got a couple gangs out there in Australia, Church of the Punch Bowl. That's a good name for a church, Church of the Punch Bowl, Church at the Punch Bowl. But these poor people, you know, I've written these people, and they can't answer these questions, but they are the toughest. They are the most difficult to overcome that idea. And the reason why is Romans 11, 25, it's one of the mysteries. And he says, I would not have it to be ignorant that blindness in part has happened to Israel, lest ye be wise in your own conceits. And Proverbs 26, 12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceits, there's more hope of a fool than him. And that's why it's so difficult dealing with those people. I mean, if you just read the Old Testament and see Israel, 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 now that's the church. You know, they're going to have to do all sorts of backflips to get through these things. Okay, what is the promise? Okay, when we're in Christ, yes, we become part of Abraham's seed, but what's the promise, the context of the promise here? Well, the promise goes back to verse 14. The promise is that we get the Holy Ghost by faith. That's the promise. He's not dealing with a land grant. So we're dealing with this spiritually, verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs on the promise of verse 14, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so that's verse 29. So that's the last 5 verses of Galatians chapter 3. So we'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Are we covered?